see you tonight. I love this night, this every year, and I know you do as well. Looking forward to hearing from our young people that we love. And just sometimes I see the slides, the pictures from previous years and how the little ones are now the big ones. And so I look at these little ones and I think, you know, Lord, please help us to be what we ought to be as a church for these folks, these little ones, and you'll get to see their hearts tonight, which I love very much. You're glad you're saved. Luke chapter 2 will be our text a little bit later when the boys come up here and share the word of God. So if you want to turn there, you can. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, it is with joy that we come tonight and gratitude that we get to come as your people in assembly in this place, in this time, with the freedom we have, the blessing, Lord, of these young people. We pray, God, as we have so many times, we pray for their protection spiritually as well as physically. We pray, Father, that tonight as they minister to us in song from their tender hearts, that we'll be reminded that of such is the kingdom of God, and except we become as little children, that there are great qualities. We thank you most, Lord, for the message that they'll be singing and demonstrating tonight. You sent your Son, your only begotten Son, who lived and died in this cruel world, Lord, and gave his life for us and shed his blood and was resurrected. Thank you most of all for that. Bless now the time. May we open our hearts to your word as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated, and the program will begin.
Did I tell you the children are coming through our street to carol tonight?
Yes, Mom.
Did I tell you that they're going to stop by and hear the Christmas story?
Yes, Mom.
Did I tell you this is my favorite time of the year?
Yes, Mom.
Oh, did you get the lights on?
Yes, Mom. Okay.
Oh, did you turn the lanterns on?
Yes, Mom.
Okay, hey, do we have everything ready for the story?
Yes, Mom.
Okay, great. Wait a minute. Is that them? Do you hear them? Oh, they're coming.
Joy to the world that has come.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes, Mom.
Well, come on in and take a seat. We have a wonderful story for you to hear today. Take a seat. Find a seat. There you go. Find your seat. Thank you so much for coming. Who wants to hear the reason we celebrate Christmas? A story. Who wants to hear a story?
Me!
Yeah, wonderful. Well, listen carefully. Good job. Christmas is an exciting time of the year. Now the lights and the decorations and the cookies and the caroling and the time off of school and maybe a vacation and special time with family and friends, those are wonderful blessings. But there's an incredible reason to celebrate Christmas. It started way, way back in the beginning of the whole world. In the Bible, God's very first words to us tell us that He created everything. God just spoke, and the whole world was. Light, the sky, the ground, the waters, the stars, the moon, the trees, the flowers, the fish, every creature we see. He created everything. And on day six of creation, the Lord God made man, and it was Adam. And then He created the first woman, Eve. And He placed them in the beautiful garden where He could walk and talk with them every day. But one day, Adam and Eve decided to disobey God and do the one thing that God had asked them not to do. And on that day, sin entered the perfect world that God had created. And after that day, everyone born would be born with a sinful nature. And worse, that sin that we're born with, our sin, keeps us separated from God. That's not how God made the world or man. It was their choice to disobey. So now what? We're not able to fix this sin problem on our own. There's nothing we can do to fix it for ourselves. But God, who is rich in mercy and full of grace, made a promise.
Do you know Emmanuel, God who dwells with men? Do you know the manger birth, born of humble men? Do you know He lived a life perfect without sin?
Long ago, God sent many messengers to remind His people of what He had promised. In Isaiah 9:6, listen to what God said. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. God made a promise to send his son. God's very own son would leave his throne in heaven, come and be born a man, and then pay the ultimate price for our sin. And God always keeps his promises. The glorious night his son Jesus was born, the skies nearby filled with bright, beaming angels who sang an incredible birth announcement. Glory to God in the highest. God send his son? And why would Jesus leave his throne and come? Well, he tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love through his son Jesus would reach down to man.
From our father's heart a baby came, from our royal throne to grief and shame. God's heart divine, seeking for mine, love reached out to me. Love reached out, God came near, crossed each boundary, calmed each fear, reaching to
to give his life for you and for me. Sin deserves punishment, and that punishment is death, to be separated forever from God's presence. So Jesus allowed himself to be put to death on the cross so that all of us can be made free from sin. He paid the price that we deserve. But the story doesn't end there. He didn't stay dead. He defeated death and the grave by coming back to life. Now that's the real reason to celebrate Christmas. And it all started with that baby who was sent from heaven. Jesus' birth is the reason for Christmas. God's gift to man, salvation through Jesus Christ, is a free gift. There's nothing we can do to deserve it or earn it. We can't buy it, and we can't work for it. So how do we get it? Remember that verse that we read earlier, that whosoever believeth in him. Listen to what God tells us in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And God's plan to fulfill his promise started that silent night.
Silent night, holy. Holy infant, so tender.
Christmas time, there are so many distractions. Lights, gifts, programs, but what really matters, the only thing that matters, is the life-changing story of Jesus Christ.
This peaceful baby that slept in the manger came for all of mankind. For whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life in God's presence forever. That is a peace that only God can give. Peace with him and a peace that surpasses all understanding for our life now if we believe in that promise he kept of his son. The real reason to celebrate God's meaning, God's true meaning of Christmas. Shall we join them caroling?
Yes, Mom.
Can you say anything else?
Yes, Mom.
Let's sing.
Hello, testing, this thing on. Hello, welcome.
This thing has wheels.
This is a terrible idea.
Where are you going? Okay.
This is an awful idea. Hi, Merry Christmas.
This was Pastor's idea. I just want to point
yes, to make this very clear. Welcome to the very special edition of the B&B Show. I'm Andy Blaylock. My partner in crime
is nervous. And my name is Kevin Beso. Hi, Amen. Mom. I know you're watching tonight.
Yeah, is she really? Are you sure?
I think
so. Our own wives don't watch this show, so.
Well, that's also true. By the way, if this is good tonight,
yes, that
Maddie,
was a blessing.
She wrote it. So.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
If the message tonight is good.
Oh, yes. It's all
my
her.
My wife wrote it.
She gets credit.
Yeah.
Absolute credit. Absolutely.
No,
and by the way, wasn't that a blessing tonight?
I love to hear the kids sing. It reminds me of when I was a kid many, many,
many
moons ago. And I think there's a VHS out there somewhere from when we used
what
to
sing. What is that?
That's a tape, Andrew.
No one can watch it, so that's good.
Yes. Nobody.
And, you know, a lot of this is because of the hard work of a lot of dedicated workers and patients and parents and patients and kids and patients over and over again. So we want to give them a big hand. Give them
yes.
a big round of applause. Wonderful job.
Yes.
Beautiful job. Beautiful decorations. We would never do anything like this.
I've never heard some of those songs, and I just want to thank the workers. You know, you can't have something like that with a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of things. So
no, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your hard work. It was really great. It really
absolutely.
Blessed my heart. So you basically preached the message already. So
why are we here? Just to waste their time.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. Those kids today were a lot cuter than we were when we were in kids' choir.
That's because they covered us up with robes and stuff.
That is true. When Miss Darlene came up and said, Andy, you're a wise man. I was like, and you're a liar. So why? And I knew it was a lie because Rick Hatcher was also a wise man. So the whole thing was a sham. So it's a lot better today, I promise you.
They told me to hold a piece of candy and stand in the corner. So
I'm like, okay. Easy. We're going to have a good time tonight. Probably too much fun. Again, Pastor's idea when he said, you want us to do what? This is a terrible mistake. No, I think it'll be wonderful. But there's something this Christmas season that Brother Kevin and I have been talking about for a few months now. And we want to share it with you. We hope it's a blessing. If you want to turn God's Word to Luke chapter 2, as you mentioned, we heard it many times by the wonderful Mrs. Diaz and the kids, but we're going to read just for retention a little more. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping over watch for their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That's important. They were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. You know, Brother Kevin, a lot of times when we hear something over and over, especially the Christmas story, mm-hmm. it's more than a story, but I think we're tempted to lose the amazing power and glory, the impact that it has on us.
You know, you hear it time and time again about the Christmas story. We read Luke chapter 2 every year. My in-laws, we go up there in New Jersey and we read it together with them. And you hear it so many times. It's very, sometimes it can get very easy to take for granted. Mm-hmm. But we want to draw your attention to verse 14 again. And there's a phrase there that, Brother Andy, you've told me that you know something special
a little
about.
Bit.
The Bible says there, verse 14, Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. And these two words, goodwill towards men. Now, tell us, Andy, what is so special about those two words, goodwill?
It's interesting. A few things is it's not repeated very often in Scripture. In fact, there's only two other times.
Right.
And that wasn't even, yes, and it wasn't even in this context. Mm-hmm. The angel of the Lord is speaking peace and on earth goodwill toward men. We hear that all the time. Bing Crosby says it. Linus says it. Charlie Brown Christmas. We hear it over and over again. But what does that mean? Like, I've always, and as a kid, I was like, what does that even mean? What is God's goodwill toward me? Ever since the beginning of time, as again, Mrs. Diaz and the kids mentioned, God has always wanted one thing from us. It's very simple. And I think, honestly, a lot of us forget this, is that God wants to have fellowship with us.
You know, I love that about the Lord. He seeks to restore. He's not a God out there trying to stamp you out. He's a God that looks to redeem, to restore, reconcile. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, Amen. That we might receive the adoption of sons. God is seeking to bring mankind back to himself after the sin and all those types of things. We're going to talk about that. But
oh, yes, we are.
What a great thing that God does there.
And the question tonight is, what we would pose to you, is why Christmas? What's the big deal?
Yeah.
What is this goodwill toward us? You know, we don't want to lose this tremendous significance of all this. This is all pretty. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, actually. We could never do this, by the way.
Nope.
Never. Ever. And
I'd be using duct tape.
Right, this lights. Walmart, you're welcome. But the problem is we can lose it unless we pay close attention to these things. There's three things that we've been talking about mm-hmm. that we hope is a blessing to you. To answer the question, why Christmas? Why does it matter? Mm-hmm. And the reason why Christmas matters is, number one, we were given peace over fear. Luke 2:10 says, And the angel said unto them, Fear not. That's interesting. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
You know, this world, a lot of people are afraid of so many different things that happen. I was just talking with a guy just the other day who got kind of a bad diagnosis. He's afraid. Mm-hmm. And people are looking for peace in this world. And of course, we know you can't have peace without the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just ask this question. How many of you have ever been afraid in your life?
No.
Yes. Basically, every time I sat down to take a test,
a lot of
liars
in here.
but we get afraid. I remember just a couple of years ago, my brother, he passed away.
Yep.
And my family, we came into a time of fear, but the Lord sustained us through that time.
Yes.
And the Lord's promises rang true in our own life. And God came to this earth not just so we can sing pretty songs, which the kids did a great job, but so that he could give us peace over fear. Yeah. But what say you, Mr. Andy?
It's interesting that God is so adamant to repeat over and over in his word. I mean, constantly, repetition, to not be afraid. In fact, it is the most repeated command in all scriptures, you mentioned, that to not be afraid, to fear not. Why? Because God knows us.
Right.
He knows us better than we know ourselves. The Bible says that God, in Psalm 103, verse 14, it says that God knoweth our frame. Mm-hmm. I think this is interesting. He remembereth that we are dust. The French philosopher Pascal, that's not the cute lizard from Rapunzel. Okay, just get it right, all right? He's named after a philosopher, all right? You're welcome. That's your free lesson
smart.
For today. No, not really. But the French philosopher Pascal, the lizard, said that fear is the most common state of man. Mm-hmm. And that is precisely why God sent his son. You know, Brother Kevin, we get this wrong, I think, so many mm-hmm. times. He doesn't say fear not because there's nothing to fear.
Right.
In this world, there are lots of things to be afraid of.
Right.
Without him. I mean, if the last 2 years of our life, we have seen the effects of fear in government.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In communities and in families. Everywhere and in all times, if you take out your phone right here. I like to call this doom scrolling. Did you see the latest thing? Oh, my God. I'll just scroll for you right now. No. Doom scrolling. Constant fear, 24/7, you're welcome. And people just lap it up. There's a lot of reasons to be afraid in this world.
Right.
It's a dark world. But the beginning of this chapter begins with, I believe, one of the most wicked and godless rulers in human history. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. He was not a good man. Mm-hmm. It was not a good empire. This was a very dark time.
Sure
the
was.
Birth of Jesus Christ is a very dark time in human history. But God says not to fear because we have nothing to fear because of him.
That's exactly right.
Because he has sent his son. Because he has given us, through his son, power over fear. I remember I've seen faith demonstrated in so many people. Honestly, some of you I'm looking at right now, I've seen your faith, and it has blessed our hearts, and it has humbled us many, many times. But one of the greatest that I have ever seen was in my mother and in Aunt Lori. You know, Aunt Lori received a diagnosis by any stretch of the imagination would be the worst news could possibly receive, right? And everywhere in the world right now is scared of getting that news. Now, for some, it's the pandemic. If I get this, I'm going to die. But with Aunt Lori, she knew that the Lord would not heal her here, that she'd be healed up there. And most people, even Christian people, would be completely submerged into despair. But I saw, and Dad saw, and my family saw, for the next few years, by the way, lasted way longer than the doctors would say, I saw a woman who physically was falling, but spiritually growing stronger and stronger every day. I saw the peace of God that, by the way, yes, passes all understanding, grow in that woman because Jesus Christ made a difference in her heart. And even though she received something that the whole world fears, in fact, it made her strength stronger and made her faith greater, and her peace was palpable. You could see it
absolutely
in her words and in her actions. And that is the transforming power that the Prince of Peace gives us.
That's absolutely
it's an amazing
right.
thing.
I just remember seeing Aunt Lori. I didn't know her that well, but I remember she came in, and she always had her wit about, like, she was always quick. You Blaylocks are quick with the words, man. I'm just like, how do y'all do that, okay? But she didn't just hang on until the end. She grew to the end. It was just encouraging to see the peace over fear. That brings us to our second thing.
Yes, it is.
And
what
we're
is it,
excited
Kevin?
About this. Let me find it on my notes here. Oh, here it is.
Right
I found
here.
It. A big, giant writing right there. The second thing here is a promise as fulfilled. God gives us peace over fear, but he also gives us a promise as fulfilled. Look at verse number 11 in chapter 2 of Luke there. The Bible says right here, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The kids did such a great job singing about Jesus coming, and you looked at me and you were like, well, I guess we don't really have to talk about that point.
Can we go home?
because they hit it. But what an awesome thing this is, that God said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and Jesus fulfilled all these promises when he came to earth. I think about it. God thought it. The Holy Spirit brought it.
Come on.
Jesus bought it.
Amen.
Satan fought it.
Shake that bush.
Thank the Lord, we still caught it.
Amen.
You think about... That's good preaching right there.
That's good right there. Don't forget to leave your tithe in the back.
Why'd you have to go and say that? But you think about it. I remember a kid coming up to me and asking me. He said, "Mr. Kevin..." This was back when I was in Bible college. What makes Christianity so special above everything else? Maybe you're out there and you're here tonight and you're thinking about, well, why? What makes this different from any other belief system or religion? And I answer this, it's the Bible.
Amen.
The scriptures are an amazing book. You think about it, over 40 different authors, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, over 1,500 years, yet one message. The Old Testament prophesies the coming of the Lord Jesus. Did you know this? The fellows are going to put up a stat in just a second here. But Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in his first coming to this earth.
Yes, he did.
That is amazing. These prophecies were written hundreds of years before he was physically here on earth, before he was born on a manger. That's amazing. So how many of you like math? Yes, we got any math people in here?
Wow.
Oh, yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Maybe they can do
not
this.
Me.
Not
math
me.
Was the best 4 years of my freshman year.
When they told me to find X, I just circled the X. I found
that's
it.
That's right. When they started adding shapes.
Why is there shapes?
I know. Pythagoras, I use him a lot nowadays. You know, 34 years old, that helps during tax season. Okay, back on track, here we go. If you like math or you think about it, they have this thing out there called scientific notation. The guys have got it up on the screen there.
My head hurts. I don't like the screen.
Okay, so this is an interesting thought to think about. Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies in his first coming. 300. Now, the stat that is up there on the screen is if Jesus only perfectly fulfilled 8 of those 300. Only 8. Now, you see the equation. 1,000 times 1,000 times 100 times 1,000 times 1,000 times 100,000 times 1,000 times 10,000. Wow, that's a lot, brother.
It's a lot of zeros.
Okay, so if you're looking at scientific notation, that's 1 in 10 to the 26th power. That's literally 26 zeros.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's pretty amazing to me. If he fulfills all of the 300 prophecies, that is 1 in the 10th power. All right, 1 in the 10 chance to the 6,000th power. Yeah. So let me give you an idea. So some of you are like, wow, that's a lot of zeros. What does that mean to me? Okay, let me put it in terms that I can easily understand. Cookies.
Yes, food.
Okay. Amen. All right, so you got Thin Mints up there on the screen. Praise God. I prefer the peanut butter ones or the coconut ones, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So the person that figured out and studied out this stat. This is, again, talking if Jesus fulfilled only 8 prophecies in the Old Testament. Only 8. That is 1 in 10 to the 26th power. That is enough Thin Mints, you ready for this?
Yeah.
To cover the entire United States a foot deep in Thin Mints. I like that.
That's math I can get a little
more
with.
I wouldn't be thin, but I'd be minty, that's for sure. But think about it. The guy blindfolding, walking across the United States through all these cookies, 1 in 10 chance to the 26th power has a chance of finding one cookie that's got like a cross on it or something. That is basically, statistic-wise, the odds of these 8 prophecies coming to pass just like Jesus made them come to pass. Listen, you can't make that stuff up.
No.
It's not something we concocted ourselves. Jesus came, he was prophesied, and this is a prophecy that came hundreds of years before he was put in the manger, and he fulfilled 300 prophecies perfectly. Let me tell you, again, that's not by accident. That's like, you know, some people say it's like sending a tornado through a junkyard, and out comes a perfectly functioning 747 kind of odds. That's what we're talking about. And Jesus, watch this, fulfilled every one of those prophecies perfectly.
Yeah.
That's not something that we've made up. It's pretty amazing that he kept the promises the way that he kept his promises.
Amen. God is true to his word.
Well, I've talked a lot, Andy.
Hey guys. You know, it's nice, Brother Kevin, when people keep their promises.
Uh-oh,
you know, it's nice. It's really nice
sense
when
where
people
he's going with
keep
this.
Their promises. Like Dad promising to go to my soccer games, and he didn't.
Time out. You never played soccer,
Well,
Andy.
He wouldn't even if I did.
Oh.
So, Rick gets flying lessons. Rick gets guitar. Rick's so smart. We're going to unload a lot today here on the B&B Show. Love you, Rick. Where are you?
He's over there.
Hey, Rick. You're so talented. When I went to Crown, by the way, like, Blaylock, are you the one who can play guitar and he's really cool and you can fly and stuff? No, I'm Andy. Oh. You're the nice one.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was good at the guitar in college, almost as good as he was.
I don't think so.
It was good.
Just kidding. Actually, to be fair to Dad and my family, the fact that he even attended any of my sporting events was showing unconditional love because I couldn't hit a ball on a stick. It was called T-ball. You know what they do? They put it on a stick, and I still couldn't hit it. And Dad goes, I'm proud of you, son. Not really. Proud of you. How many kids, your parents' love for you is directly proportionate to how you perform in sports? Go ahead, be honest. I'm just kidding. I saw 2 raise their hand. Oh, dear. We'll have counseling later.
My mom used to stand up on the car. That's my boy. I'm taking myself out of the game. Good night.
No, Dad had no expectations for me. So that was good. Okay. You know, that was a good childhood. Have no expectations whatsoever. But I remember one faithful year. Now listen, boys and girls, I want to tell you something. The greatest holiday season of all time, okay, was back in the ancient days of 1996.
The year of the flood.
The year of the flood, yes.
Remember that.
Yes, I do. Oh, don't even get me started.
Canoeing around the heights in the street.
Snakes and like, the water's warm. Get out! Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was a good time. We took the church van, actually, and plowed through. Anyway, in 1996, it was considered the greatest holiday shopping season in our nation's history. Did you know that? Also, more retail sales, more money was just spent on 2 things.
Okay, I'm listening.
2 of the biggest toys in our nation's history. Number one was something called Tickle Me Elmo.
I'm so happy to see you.
Now listen, my brother Rick wanted this real bad. So that's what he wanted. I don't understand. I have a more advanced mind. Literally, boys and girls, if you're looking at the screen, you know what that thing does? Does it Bluetooth? Does it play your music? Is it smart? Does it learn your human behaviors and mimic you, which is creepy they do nowadays? No. It literally, you would push its button and go, it's Bibles. That's it. That's all it would do. Welcome to the 90s. That's it. And this thing was the hottest toy
it was revolutionary.
In our nation. It was not. I don't understand. I'm looking at it. I'm getting angry already. But the other thing that was the most sought-after product of all time...
I'm listening.
...was the next one, the Nintendo 64.
Dun, dun, dun.
A lot of adults now are waking up. Not the kids, the adults. The kids are like, is that one of those things you have to plug in to play it? Wow, look at that. I don't understand.
You had to blow on the cartridge to make it work?
Actually, yes, you did. Now, listen, I wanted this more than anything in the world, but I knew it was a long shot. I watched Today's Show. I saw Kathy Lee and them making fun of people trying to get N64. It was impossible.
Tackling
Japan
people.
Was laughing at us. You know, you're not getting one. So I asked one from Mom and Dad, but I knew it was a long shot. And, you know, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but once accomplished is a tree of life. Well, my heart was sick. My hope was dead. But my dad, who loved me so dearly, did something he would never do, go shopping. And so he braved the chaos of Target, okay, which was even crazier back then. And he had a number, and the number was triple digits, like number 798. He ain't getting one. There's no way. But yet still, Dad was faithful. He still loved his son so much that he stayed in that line. Finally, a lady came up to him and said, I'm sick of this. I'm done. I don't even like my kids, so you can have my ticket. So he gives Dad the ticket, and the number's a little lower. It's two digits now, like number 78 or whatever. So Dad's like, okay. So they finally go, number 78, please go. And Dad's like, all right. So he goes up front. And then all of a sudden, Dad kind of notices security guards like coming up. And he's like, you got Tickle Me Elmo? And they say, okay, now, sir, this is the last Nintendo 64 in the store. And those hundreds of people out there are about to be told that we sold the last one. So to save your life, we are going to sell you. And going to quietly remove you from the premises. So Dad literally got the last one out of Target. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. And so that faithful Christmas morning, what my parents do is they're like, don't come outside, don't breathe, don't use the bed, don't do anything until you hear Christmas music. You have to stay in your room. If it's on fire, you have to stay in your room until you hear Christmas music. So we heard Christmas music, and out they go, and Rick gets a guitar and a bike and a plane and a Tesla back then, and all that stuff. It's fine. It's all good. Wonderful Blaylock memories. And I start, and finally the last present was for me, best for last. And they say, Andy, open it up. This is for you. So I start tearing it up. You know what was in it? Kevin's already laughing. It was a box of diapers. A box of diapers. I have child abuse, cruel parents. Love you, Mom and Dad. Box of, and you know what? They were Huggies. They weren't even Pampers. They were Huggies. Come on. So I look at it, and they're all like, okay, who's the first one to start laughing? Who do you think? Just take a guess. Who starts laughing? Yes. Dad's like, bah! So the disappointment, hope deferred, maketh the heart sick.
I'm crying. I'm laughing.
I don't. So I start to open the box, thinking I have a sick family. Maybe I can change my name. I'm only 11. I saw a movie about Home Alone or something. I can figure something out. So I start opening the box of diapers. And there you see before you that exact same box, a Nintendo 64. And then I thought for a minute it was a sick prank again. And inside would be like Build-A-Bear or something. But no, I opened it up and there it was. I had what no other child in America had, and it felt great. And you know what? What I love about that story isn't the covetousness, maybe. The envy. What meant a lot to me is when Dad started to tell me the trials that he went through to get this. I mean, he looked for weeks for this thing. I mean, he bought off people. Bodies went missing. I mean, he made things happen to get this stupid thing. And I am so touched years later. This is my favorite Christmas story, not because I got the N64. We played it. It's fine. You know, I beat Rick. And actually, I can never beat Rick, but he punched me anyway. We have great memories with it, but I don't even care about this silly box anymore. What I remember so fondly is the lengths that Dad went to fulfill his promise to me. And I think about how much that God has done for us for thousands of years. All the way back in the garden, as Mrs. Diaz mentioned, God promised, I will give you a Messiah. And you think about it, God had everything. He had the universe in the palm of his hand. And yet the most precious thing that he had, it was his only begotten son. And that was the one thing that he had to give. And for hundreds, thousands of years, God did everything to fulfill this promise of redemption, of, you said, restored fellowship and restoration. And that blesses my heart. It humbles me to know the lengths that God went to to send his son to be born in a manger, not as a king, but in a lowly manger for us. Which leads us to the final observation of why Christmas. Christmas matters.
That's right.
Because maybe most importantly, number three, we have pardon through forgiveness. Very quickly, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So here's where we come full circle, Brother Kevin. That's that goodwill that we talked about. God has one desire for every single one of us tonight. You know this. Is to have fellowship with him. The only reason he made a promise all the way back in the garden is because he wanted to provide a way for us to have pardon, to be forgiven. Why? Because through that, we could have access to God. And we could only have that through his son. And I think, Brother Kevin, we forget, all of us, that our God is a jealous God.
Absolutely.
And you know, when we think of jealousy, we think of a negative,
right,
of a sin. But there is a righteous jealousy. We belong to him. We were made by him. We were fashioned by him. He bought us, the Bible says, with a price. He desires our heart. The thing with Santa Claus, let's talk about Santa Claus theology here for a second, okay? Let's talk about Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. I'm just kidding. The thing with Santa Claus is the gifts he gives are passive.
Right.
He just gives. I mean, great. Thanks, creepy man. Sneak in my house. Okay, here's some cookies. Here's your diabetes. Have a nice day. You know, it's like, it's okay. It's a passive thing. He gives you gifts, but there's no relationship. There's no real motive or reason, just the smile on kids' faces. But God gives us things for a reason.
Right.
God gives us peace over fear. He fulfills his promises. He gives pardon to forgive. Why? Because he wants something. Because he wants you. And he wants all of you. The kids sang, y'all did a great job, give yourself a pat on the back, you sang Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That is what he wants more than anything else. Christmas should not be a season where we just have appreciation for what God has done, but we also should have action. A time of rejoicing, yes, but a time of resolution. What Jesus Christ has done for you and me should cause us to love him more, to seek him more, to do his will like never before. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me.
Right.
That means grab a hold of. Does it grab a hold of you, what God has done for you? When you're reminded of all of this, does it affect you? Because honestly, that's what he wants. He doesn't want your appreciation. He wants your adoration. He doesn't just want to give you forgiveness. He wants your fellowship.
Right.
And as we heard from Pastor this morning, he doesn't just give you a home in heaven. He wants your whole heart, and he wants it right here and right now.
That's exactly right. Here's kind of where the rubber meets the road. We've laughed, had a good time here tonight. But what about your soul? Maybe you're sitting out there tonight. Maybe you're watching on the live stream. Jesus did all this for you.
Yeah,
he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It just makes me think about, you know, you talked about 1996. That's when I lived around the corner from you guys. And I'll never forget.
Dark days.
Dark days in Andy's life. I never got to play that Nintendo, Andy. Okay.
No, you weren't allowed in.
But I remember Andrew coming, walking around the corner there on Harriet Avenue. We were just in the Heights yesterday passing out gospel tracts and invites to the Christmas program. And I said, I want to get my old house there on Garrett Street. And it brought back so many memories.
Yeah.
So I remember one time you walking around the corner. I didn't know what a homeschool kid was.
We're an elusive lot.
I just remember asking. My parents went to a church, and I thought, man, this is so boring. I don't like it. And out of nowhere, I seemed to ask you, do you like church? And you shook your head. Oh, I love church. I'm like, man, what a weirdo.
He's not wrong.
Well, then we moved. And we moved across the street from the Hatchers that are here tonight.
Yep.
And Rick and Charlie were out playing ball. And I'll never forget, they took me inside the house, and they took out one of those blue gospel tracts that we have on the track rack back there. Are you 100% sure? They explained to me the gospel. You're out here tonight, and you're thinking about your soul. You know, what is all this about? It's about what they gave me in that gospel track. Did you know that God loves you? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, somebody told me you can put your name in that verse. For God so loved Kevin. For God so loved Andy. For God so loved the world. Well, you're part of the world. God loves you.
Yep.
And he proved it because he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, you shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. They explained that to me. They explained to me that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They said there's things that you thought, things that you've done, things that you said that displease God. We're all sinners. I had brothers that I fought with on days that ended in Y. So I knew that I was a sinner. But the problem was, life without Christ, I would have to pay for my own sin. For the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And the wages of my sin was separation from God eternally in a place called hell. Hell was not designed for me. And I was on my way there, but then I heard the good news that we're talking about here today. This is what Christmas is about. We talk about, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
That track, and Charlie and Rick, they went on to explain to me that God commendeth his love. He proved his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
When I didn't deserve it, when I was a sinner, Jesus still went the final mile and he died for me.
Yeah.
And they went on to explain, and the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever, again, you can put your name in that very verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And I remember when I was a 14-year-old kid, I bowed my head and I expressed faith in God and what he said in his word, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. He changed my life. Now Christmas is more real to me than it ever was before I got saved.
Yeah.
But maybe you're here tonight and you've not gotten saved. You've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins. Christmas is all about Jesus coming to wash away your sins. You can be saved tonight.
Yeah.
It's a season of gift giving. And Jesus has given you this gift of eternal life. You know, one of the things about gifts is you don't deserve them usually.
No.
But what do you have to do to get a gift? You know, my parents would have gifts under the tree for me when I was a kid. You know, I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to pay money for it. It was a gift. The only thing I had to do was receive it.
Yeah.
And so some of you all save all the bows and carefully unpack all the paper stuff.
No.
Me, I ravage the package and I'm like, all right, what is it? Okay. But salvation is a lot like that. Somebody's purchased for you eternal life, but you have to receive it.
Yeah.
And so Jesus died for your sins. And I echo again, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The kids sang it. We've talked about it. And the greatest thing that you could do for us and what God wants you to do is accept his gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
And so
salvation wasn't free.
That's right.
But it's free for us.
That's right. So again, why Christmas?
Yeah, why Christmas? To close tonight, we ask you that through this season to ask yourself, why does it matter? And it matters because we've been given peace over fear, because a promise was fulfilled, and we have pardon through forgiveness. God sent his son. He granted his goodwill to all men so that we would trust in his son and Savior, have our sins forgiven. And again, what he wants more than anything from all of us here tonight is to have fellowship with him and with him forever. And God's people said, amen.
Amen.
And with that, let us stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. At this moment, Brother Kevin's going to do invitation. As we mentioned, there might be someone in this room who'd say, I have never truly accepted Jesus Christ. I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. We don't do this just because it's cute or it's pretty or it's entertainment, although we do enjoy it and we're blessed by it. We do this because we want everyone to know what these boys and girls sang a moment ago, that there is a Savior that lives in their hearts and can live in yours as well. That is why you are here tonight. And if anyone here, the Lord has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to come to the altar as he plays.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Well, amen. Are you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. As always, as we say on the B&B show, get off Facebook. Get your face in the book, all right? And so thank you so much for coming tonight. What a blessing. Let the kids know they did a great job. And let's pray together and we'll be dismissed tonight. Thank you so much for coming. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. Thank you for this Christmas account that we were able to go through. And hear again how Jesus came to this earth, Lord, to give us peace over fear, to give a promise as fulfilled, to give us pardon through forgiveness. Lord, what a great gift forgiveness is. And I pray again, Lord, for anybody that's watching or here today that doesn't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Oh, Lord, may they get saved. What a great gift that you've given to us. Thank you for our young people, our children. Lord, may we be what we need to be as Christian people to reach them, to help them grow, to influence them, to push them to do right and to follow you. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for letting us be here tonight. And we pray you be with us this week. Help us to speak a kind word and give the gospel to someone. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You're dismissed.